States. So in 9/11, some people, they bring some flowers to the masjid. And I was the only one in the masjid. And then I found this. I says, oh, those people, they want to bomb the masjid. So I just ran away and I made a problem. I was about, you know, to call the police because now there is something threatening me. But they were neighbors and they were trying to say that we know that you are in our community. You invite people to peace and we know for sure that you are not among those terrorists who are making it hard for others and those who kill others. We believe that you are Muslims and you love peace. So this is an appreciation of our belief in what you invite people to, and we believe that you came with a message of peace. The last thing that I want to also mention and tackle, do we or are we allowed to come to the masajid, or the fear should capture our hearts and we prevent our kids, especially in Salat al-Isha and Salat al-Fajr, to come to the masajid? It's something that is widespread. Many people try to follow this trend because it matches with their desires, and the shaitan works on that as well. Now Ramadan is coming, so there is no need to go to Taraweeh. It's going to be something scary. So ya ikhwan, our deen is our blood and our flesh. كلا طرفي الأمر مذموم. The two extremes are not appreciated in Islam, are not accepted in Islam. Whether I take the matter easily without any precautions at all and just, you know, without protecting myself, this is something that is not accepted. The Prophet Muhammad says, اعقلها وتوكل. If you have a donkey or a camel and you are afraid about it, you tie it up. You do your best. You should protect yourself. Our masajid should, you know, find a way to protect ourselves in the masajid and protect our people who come to the masjid. But at the same time, we should not be away from the masajid. The shaitan is there, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it, especially to us. Innama ya'kulu dhi'bu min al-ghanam al-qasiya. The wolf eats from the sheep, the one that goes astray. The one who keeps himself and his family away from the masjid, away from the activities of the masjid, away from the Muslims, giving himself and his family excuses. If we go to the masjid, now the masjids are labels, you know, it's going to be dangerous. And then they come and complain to the imams after years. My son, my daughter is dating. They we need to return them back to Islam. Brother, sister, you did this first when you keep them away. And now it's very hard to bring them back to the deen. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who always have this balance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all the Muslims. May Allah protect our youth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the knowledge about the deen and the pride of, you know, that we should learn about our deen. Jazakumullah khair.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmadu wa nusalli ala rasulihil karim amma ba'd. Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu shares a practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says kana rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam idha awa ila firashi yaqul allahumma inni aslamtu wajhi nafsi ilayk ووجهت وجهي إليك وفوضت أمري إليك لا منجأ ولا ملجأ منك إلا إليك آمنت بكتابك الذي أنزلت وبرسولك الذي أرسلت. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would lay his head at night to go to sleep, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite this dua always. O Allah, I surrender myself to your decision. I turn my face towards you. I surrender all of my affairs to your decision. لا منجأ ولا ملجأ منك إلا إليك. There is no refuge. There is no place for protection. There is no protection. There is no refuge. There is no safety from you. From? You. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا ملجأ ولا منجأ منك. Now, it is our belief that every blessing, every good, every not so good, every gain, every achievement, every setback, every misfortune, all of these things are custom tailored for us in our qadr before we are born. We accept that, right, as Muslims. This is not the light at the end of the tunnel, but for a Muslim, this is the light. This is the light that illuminates that tunnel. That at the end of the day, everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it comes for a reason. It comes for a reason. Just one example. For some people, it takes some people to have a serious health complication, such as a heart attack, for example, to realize that, oh, I need to live a healthier lifestyle. The cost of going through the pain and suffering of a heart attack or any other type of sickness. But what ended up being the result and the silver lining of that? That now a person gets to recalibrate the decisions they make on a day-to-day, on a meal basis, right? So everything that comes, everything that happens to us, everything that falls in our lap, and everything that hits us in the head, all of that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, لَا مَلْجَأَ وَلَا مَنْجَى مِنْكَ. There is no place, there is no shelter, there is no refuge from whatever comes from you, إِلَّا إِلَيْكَ, except towards you. Do you understand that? So for a person to want safety and protection and refuge from any and everything that may happen, that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only solution is to go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no running away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no turning our back from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we pray in salah, we have to face, chest, entire front body towards the qibla. We have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, with that being said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his iman, faith, and tawakkul being on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never deterred him from being strategic, from thoroughly planning out and calculating every move and decision that he made, especially during times of extreme hostility. Sah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just one example. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Quraysh called a hit on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he after making arrangements, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he head towards Medina. Did he? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his hijrah kicked off when he received information that there was going to be a hit on his life, an imminent hit. So where did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam go? Where did he go? He went to Medina, right? Hijrah. Okay. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't head in the direction of Medina. He didn't go north. He started off going south. Why? Because the expected move was to go north. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam strategically, through the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, made this strategic plan to go in the opposite direction to keep an element of surprise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he established Darul Arqam, the place where the early Muslims would congregate to learn and teach their religion, this place was located across enemy lines in the tribe of Abu Jahl in Banu Makhzum, where all of the early Muslims would secretly go, minding their own business, and then they would be outside this door, and next minute inside the door, and they would continue the process of sharing revelation. So the Prophet ﷺ, in spite of his faith and tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the standard, in spite that, the Prophet ﷺ always calculated his move, always strategized, and not just by himself through the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was instructed to shawirhum fil amr, Seek the advice of those around you. Everyone has something to bring to the table. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was instructed and encouraged to tap into that talent. Now, why do I mention all of this? Is that we understand as Muslims that everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we never turn our back on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that doesn't mean we lay down, open our arms, and embrace any and everything that may come our way without any type of strategy, except for the fact that, A, if it is meant to be, it is meant to be. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conducted himself in this manner, Islam would have taken a different path. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reacted and acted haphazardly, things would have been different. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam acted strategically. So yes, our faith and our tawakkul is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe that if the whole world gets together to cause me harm, they can't put a finger on me unless Allah will so. And if everyone in the world wants to protect me and save me from coming in harm's way, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. You can have all the features, safety features in your car and still get hit by an 18-wheeler. Right? Now, as Muslims, following the strategy of, following the sunnah of being strategic, us as Muslims, a part of our faith and tawakkul needs to be a part of our displaying our faith in tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be through the display of taking those measures and utilizing those means to minimize the risk of harm finding us or preying upon us. So, for example, Imam Azhar mentioned, if you see something, say something. The whole concept of dhikr is what? What is the concept of dhikr? What does dhikr mean? To remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we only remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prayer? Do we only remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 33 or 34 times after and then it's over? Do we only remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our adhkar in the morning and evening? No. That is a verbal expression of what we are meant in the state that we are meant to be in all the time. A Muslim is constantly conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and everything around them. A Muslim is not a ghafil, where they're heedless, where they're unaware of what is going on around them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we read the Quran, Allah tells us what? Look at the skies, look at the mountains, look at the animals, look at the vegetation, look at the trees. Don't you travel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us to be vigilant and observing of our surroundings, right? So likewise, just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was strategic in everything to minimize the risk, likewise we need to do that as Muslims as well. As Muslims, we need to be aware of our surroundings. When we find ourselves in any other setting outside the masjid, we need to look around and be vigilant. We need to see if someone is looking at us in a weird way. We need to see if someone is following us. We need to be vigilant about these things instead of being on our phones. One of the people who want to cause and inflict harm on people, their number one priority, their number one targets are people who are heedless, people who are not paying attention, people who are distracted by something. These are people who become the easy target. And this is not what Islam teaches us. Islam does not teach us to be an easy target. Islam teaches us to be vigilant and also to conduct ourselves in a way that people don't think we are easy targets or victims. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with the Sahaba, the year after he was declined from performing Umrah, And when they finally came back, the mushrikeen were mocking the Sahaba and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, oh look, all of this move to Medina has made them weak. When we go for Umrah, the men, when you go for Umrah, when you go for Tawaf, what do you do in your first Tawaf for Umrah? There's something different about that as opposed to when you go back out of Ihram for Umrah, for Tawaf. What do you do? What do you do with the top part of your Ihram? Huh? Right? You expose your right shoulder and your right arm. Can someone share with me the wisdom or the reason behind why that is done? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the Sahaba when he heard the mushrikeen mocking them when they were sitting on the hilltops looking at the Muslims, how these weaklings are doing tawaf. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, expose your right arm, and also there's a little bit of a shake, right? A little bit of a swag, if you will, that's involved in the first part of that tawaf. For what? To display what? That we are not weak. We are strong. And if there is anyone who can claim to have strength, it's the Muslim Ummah, because we have revelation. We have the source of strength. We have the source of guidance. So a Muslim can never be weak and can never portray themselves as weak and portray themselves as being a victim. As a Muslim, we must be vigilant, we must be conscious of our awareings, and we must take measures individually, on a family level, on a community level, to ward off any type of threat that may come up, that may come upon us simply because what? Someone may think that we are weak. Are we weak? We are not weak. We have strength that is guided not by weight, but we get our strength by what? Our strength by wahi. Right? We are lifting wahi. So we are guided by wahi. We gain our strength by wahi. So we have to take these measures and find, again, there is no protection and no safety from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides me and guides all of us towards finding that safety and harnessing that safety and preserving that safety.
One thing I do want to mention is that, subhanAllah, as the three shiukh, they talked about the importance of not being afraid of really implementing our deen. You know, subhanAllah, after 9/11, we know that the Sikh community, they have a sort of a resemblance with Muslims because of the beard, because of the turban, and so forth. And as a result, there are a lot of people from the Sikh community that have also lost their life. But if you go to the Sikh community and you talk to them, they will tell you that despite what has been going on, because of what has been going on, this has made us only more firm in our faith. This has made us more firm in our faith. So if there is a person who does not believe in Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they don't have qal Allah and qal Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and yet these times creates courage in them and strength in them, then as a Muslim, when we have qala Allah and qala Rasul, we have to be strong. We have something that gives us that strength, that internal strength. So why be afraid in these kind of times? You know, we have to be consistent and we have to be steadfast close to our deen. The next question I do have for all three shuyukh, we don't have too much time. By the way, if you have any questions at the end, inshallah, you can ask, just raise your hand, inshallah. But the next question I do have, we have to pray Salatul Isha at 9:30. We have, as Ramadan comes, we see a lot of practices in society. We have community iftars. There are some families that get invited. They have so many invitations to iftar and so forth. Not only that, but you know, late at night, we have many of our Muslim youth. They also go out at the time of suhoor. They go to different restaurants and so forth. And we know, and for those of you who may not know, last year we heard about a very sad situation of a Muslim sister in the Virginia area who lost her life. It was during that time, that suhoor time, when she went out. So I'm going to ask all three shuyukh to please pitch into this, that, you know, first of all, this whole culture that we have in our community about iftar. Number two is going out and having these collective suhoors. Oh, and not only that, but then in the masajid, we have all-nighters. Sometimes we have brothers all-nighters, sisters all-nighter. Please shed some light on that matter.
I'm going to take 3 minutes. I know we get five. I'm going to take 3 minutes. But the first minute I'm going to spend on the first question, just give you three pointers. The Quran serves as a gauge, like your fuel gauge. And there's a verse of the Quran that highlights the problem. وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَهُدِّمَتْ سَوَامِعُ وَبِيَعُ وَصَلَوَاتٌ وَمَسَاجِدُ يُذْكَرُ فِيهَا اسْمُ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا. The fact that places of worship are being violated today is a sign that the Muslim community's faith is weak and that we are failing. I'm first. I'm not pointing a finger at you. I'm first. I'll point that weakness on myself. There was a time in Abu Darda radiallahu anhu's life, in time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just read the story of Abu Darda. Abu Darda's house burning down. Read it on Google. Find it. Ya Abu Darda, ihtaraka baytuk, mahtaraka bayti. People came to him and said, your house has burned down. He said, my house hasn't burned down. Three people came to him. He said, no, my house hasn't burned down. And when the fourth one came and confirmed the fire was there, when it came to your house, it stopped. They said, why? He said, Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant. Alayka tawakkaltu anta rabbul arshil kareem. Ma sha'a Allahu kan wa ma lam sha'a lam yakun. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. A'lamu anna Allah la kulli shay'in qadir. Wa anna Allah qad ahata bi kulli shay'in ilma. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sharri nafsi wa min sharri kulli daba. Anta akhidhun bina. I cannot translate this for you. Time is less. Just Google Abu Darda's house burning down. He said, I read this dua every morning. The Prophet ﷺ taught me, and I know Allah is protecting me and my family. And if you believe that this is a fantasy, Mufti Taqi Usmani's life was just threatened last month. Yes? His car was shot at, his guard was killed, and you know what he was doing at that time before the shooters emerged? He was reciting Surah Kahf. And you know what he read that morning? The same dua I just read to you. Allah protected his life, because a Muslim's protection is through their faith, first and only through their faith. And when we protect ourselves, we protect the society, we protect churches and synagogues and temples and masjids. Today we're not, unfortunately. Let's go to Ramadan. 2 minutes. 1.5 minutes. Brothers and sisters, stop making Ramadan a party. I beg you, it's not a party. Stop pushing the cultural envelope of telling your spouses to make the dishes that are not made in the 11 months. We're crazy. I'm sorry, we're crazy people. It's a month where you are physically going to go and check into the ICU of Allah. Where? Sisters? Sisters? ICU. Brothers, where? ICU. Now, if someone calls you, hey bro, we're hanging out tonight watching the Clippers, you know, defeat the Golden State Warriors tonight, you're coming down. No, I'm in the ICU. I'm sorry. You're in the ICU? I'm not going to bother you. Let us stop bothering each other in Ramadan with this unfortunate culture of food and feasting. The most important time of your Ramadan is from Asr to Maghrib. It's all in chit-chat, gossip, and discussions. Many times we go to our iftar dinners in restaurants, no one even prays their Maghrib. We have made a mockery of Ramadan, and that is why our kids hate Islam. They hate Ramadan. They don't come from Jummah. They don't come for Eid prayer, because we ourselves are making a joke out of it. So I've put together a 9-step strategy, which which we're talking this weekend, a practical course of Ramadan. But at the end of the day, one of them is, don't invite me to anyone's house. I'm not going to your house. You want to celebrate? We'll celebrate after Eid. We're not celebrating during Ramadan. So stop that culture. And the final thing with Nabra, what we learned. Now we're seeing a rise in a trend. We had the Desi culture and the Arabian culture. Now we have the American culture. The Perkins, the Denny's, and the IHOPs. Right? Everyone's going there. Now, I'm not here to talk about food and ethics, but let me tell you, those three restaurants, I don't see no ethical standards in them. There's a lot of cross-contamination between the bacons and the pancake, and take my word for it. So, eat your suhoor at home, eat your suhoor together in the masjid if it facilitates that, and for the children, the teenagers, okay. I know school's going to end for college students in the second week of Ramadan, and for Frisco ISD, I think we're finishing on the 30th of May, which gives them 4 days. If you're going to the masjid, be true to your parents. Do what you're supposed to do and do only that. Don't come for a kid's program, a teenage event, and then go walking off at night with your friends. That's exactly what happened to Nabra. And that's how she got behind, because she had asthma, she couldn't run as fast. And we know now. We know now. She was raped and she was killed. Brothers and sisters, Sheikh gave a very good hadith. The wolf preys on the lone sheep. Stay together, do things together, be ethical, be truthful, and inshallah, remember Allah, we will be protected. Keep Ramadan, and not an Eid. So then Eid will be an Eid, and Ramadan will be a Ramadan, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I remember the last year we had the most successful Mecca program in EBIC, and Imam Nadeem said a wonderful thing, then a wonderful statement. The Prophet sallam used to be sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's a mercy for mankind, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that. Allah gave him from his names that he's bil mu'mineena ra'ufur rahim. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave the people who forced him to leave his beloved place Mecca and go to Medina, who tried to kill his Sahaba, who killed his beloved uncle Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, and he is Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la alamun. Oh Allah, guide my people because they do not know. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to forgive a lot, and we learn from him that. Imagine when Jibreel says dua, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says dua for the person who is alive during the time of Ramadan, and he is away from the mercy of Allah, his sins are not forgiving, and he will enter hellfire. And on that dua that is said by Jibreel, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Ameen. Why, dear brothers and sisters? For a lot of reasons. We waste Ramadan because we focus on the culture during the time of Ramadan. It's the time to socialize, one night here, one night there. Imagine if the sister spend 5-6 hours while she's fasting to prepare food. What is Azkar al-Sabah and al-Masa'? Azkar al-Sabah and al-Masa', and may Allah have mercy upon this person who wrote this book, Husnul Muslim. He chose the best name. Azkar is Husnul Muslim, is the fortress. Did we try with our kids, and did we ask them every day and every night? Did you say, I call it the golden package, the golden package, subhanallah, yubhamdi, 100 times, la ilaha illallah, la sharika lahu, lahu al-mulku, alhamdulillah, shay'an qadir, 100 times, astaghfirullah al-azim, wa astaghfirullah al-azim, alladhi la ilaha illallah, 100 times, the dua that the Shaykh mentioned of Abu Darda, a'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tammati min sharri ma khalaq, bismillahi alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wala fil sama'. All these adhkar, it's something that we have as a Muslim that no one else have. And why don't we teach our kids to be protected by that instead of wasting all our time in cultural things that are not increasing our iman? Instead of losing weight after Ramadan, we are gaining weight because we eat a lot the dishes that we see only in Ramadan. And subhanallah, everybody is focused on that. The sister, instead of getting a reward, because if the sister cooks the food and she has the intention to that she's trying to help their family to eat from halal and to enjoy the food, she will be rewarded. Instead of that, the sister is busy and she's in distress because she needs to make a lot of food because the other family invited them the last week and they made a lot of food, so they are competing. The second important thing that related to gathering in the masjid and eating in the masjid. So this is something that is highly recommended because of the hadith that we all know, من أفطر صائما فله مثل أجر الصائم لا ينقص من أجر الصائم. The one who provides food for a fasting Muslim, he has a reward similar to this fasting Muslim without decreasing anything from the reward of this fasting Muslim. Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam, yes, this is the point. Most of the people, they focus on two things, water and dates. People compete to the masjid and bring a lot of dates and a lot of water. Brothers, after dates and water, who's gonna feed the people now? Do you think that this is sufficient? That's good, jazakumullah khairan. But we need actual food. We need biryani, akhwan. We need, you know, not a spicy biryani, but we need some food to eat. But everyone compete to bring, what is that?
No, go ahead.
So we need to eat actual food. I end with this. Ibn al-Jawzi or Ibn al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam, he said, you can fast the whole and you have a reward of a whole year. How? If we provide food for one person, it is hasana, that is multiplied to 10 hasanat. So if we provide food for 36 Muslims, it is equal to giving and fasting for a whole year. If we give food for 36 people, this means that we are fasting and gaining the reward of a whole year of fasting. If we provide food for a full masjid, 300, 500, 1,000 people, imagine the reward. Can we afford it? Yes, we can. And instead of inviting people and competing in fixing the best food at home, so let us just do it in the masjid, inshallah. Some would say, oh, the people who come to the masjid are rich. They don't know, they are not poor. It doesn't matter. Sayyidina Ali ibn Talib, he used to gather the Sahaba radwan alayhim, and among them are the people who are wealthy and have money. He says, it's better than freeing a slave. Imagine freeing a slave has a great reward. So this is something that we should care for, we should take care of. This is an investment with Allah. If you provide food for people overseas who are suffering a lot with $10, with $100, you can feed a family for a whole month. Can you imagine this? How we can change a lot of world and actually are all in the need of that. And then for the kids and leaving the masjid, Allah will ask us about our kids. As parents, we should make sure that they are in a safe place. And at the same time, yeah, kids, all our daughters and all our sons, please listen to your parents because they love you and they are worried about you. And if something happens, those are the people that you break their hearts. Listen to them and Allah will reward you because they love you and they are worried about you and they cannot have a peaceful time without you in their life. Jazakallah.
I want to wrap up, inshallah. So if you have any questions, there's one thing quickly I wanted to say about this subject matter. What happens in many cases is that we go to a lot of these iftar dawats and so forth. First of all, is that what I've seen in many cases is that people go there, they enjoy themselves. And what happens in many cases is that after that, they become so lazy in coming to the masjid that they end up going back home. And what has happened, unfortunately, is that, see, you know, during the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, when he gathered all the Sahaba for Salat Taraweeh inside at the masjid, all the Sahaba would come and they would pray together. But it is very unfortunate that today many of us have been exposed to this information that Taraweeh is not important. Taraweeh is not important. Taraweeh is only a sunnah. Taraweeh is only a sunnah. So if it's only a sunnah, I don't have to pray it. Allah, the Prophet ﷺ says, Man qama Ramadana imanan wa ihtisaban ghufir lahu ma taqaddam min dhanbi. If this is something that does not motivate us, I don't know what will motivate us. If we know that I can be standing, and this is me standing before Allah, this is my time to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we push it away simply saying that, oh, it's a sunnah only? Don't worry about it. So this is something that, first of all, we need to understand, is that even if we go to a da'wat, we should not make it into a habit. Even if we go, make sure that after that you finish, try to finish as soon as possible, get to your masjid, and get ready for Salat al-Raweeh. Next thing is suhoor. You know, last year there was a sister who called me towards the end of Ramadan. She said that she went to a local restaurant. Okay, she went to a local restaurant. And what she told me was very disturbing. She said that I was there, and there were a lot of other Muslim boys and girls that had come over there to have suhoor. Now, first of all, one trend that we have starting to see happening quite a bit is Muslim young brothers and young sisters going collectively, sitting next to each other in the name of Islam. We're putting together Islamic programs. Let's sit next to each other. This is not allowed. This is not allowed. We have to understand our limitations. If the Muslim sisters want to go, fine. But as Imam Azhar mentioned, the best thing is to sit down with your family and partake suhoor with them. Even if you have to go, you go. If you're a sister, you go with the sisters. If you're a brother, you go with the brothers. But at the same time, what she told me was this. She says that two people walked in. She said that there were two women who walked in at that time. They walked in towards the end of suhoor time. And at that restaurant, there was only it was early in the morning, of course, so there was a waitress and there was only one guy in the kitchen. And you have to imagine when your entire restaurant is filled with Muslims and they're hungry Muslims, okay? They're hungry Muslims and they're about to fast for the next 13, 14 hours. They are ordering, they want their food right away. Everyone came in early, everyone has ordered their food, the food has come in. There's a lot of pressure on these two people. These two people, when there was two women who walked in, they gave their order. It was towards the end of suhoor. They had put a lot of pressure on the waitress and the cooker. Now, the cook could not cook that fast. He has other orders to take care of. What did those two women do? They got up and very openly, in front of everyone, began to verbally abuse that woman. And not just verbally abuse, not like getting upset, profanity. This is the month of Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan, where we're supposed to exhibit the best character, exhibit a character, sabr, and so forth. This is the way we're behaving? Is this what Islam teaches us? Is this what the Prophet ﷺ has taught us? So we have to be very careful about these things. It is only 5 minutes left for Salat. I saw the brother, he had his question up, his hand up, he had a question. We'll probably just take one or two questions or three questions at the most. And then inshallah, we will have someone to give the adhan and we'll start Salat inshallah. You had a question? So just to reiterate what the brother is saying, and this is what Sheikh Jibali had mentioned earlier, this dua, the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these are very powerful supplications. So the dua is Bismillahi ladhi la yudurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wala fis sama' wa huwa samiu alim. Anyone who recites this 3 times morning, evening, inshallah, Allah will protect them. Any questions from anyone actually? Is there anyone who has any questions? Yes. You're going to speak a little louder, I'm sorry. Okay, inshallah. So the brother is saying that last year EPIC took some brothers for suhoor. Can it be avoided? Inshallah, we'll look into that, exactly what happened and so forth, and can it be avoided or not. Rather, inshallah, have the suhoor here, inshallah. Yes. So the question Brother Ziyad is asking is that, is there any programs going on in the month of Ramadan at the masjid for non-Muslims? I do know that there is an interfaith iftar taking place at IACC. When is it? Imam Azhar, do you know when it is? Yeah. Do you know when it is? So I would say this is that ICC is holding an iftar, an interfaith iftar event, inshallah. EPIC is also holding one, inshallah, too. It's called Sharing Ramadan. That will be taking place in, I believe, May 18th, inshallah, but I have to confirm that. And so that is the, you know, if there's any masjid that is having a Sharing Ramadan or iftar event, the best thing is to take them to there. It, also, you can bring them over to your own home, too. So May 16th, inshallah. I remember, I don't want to go into, there's not that much time. Several years ago, there was the Imam of the West Plano Masjid, Imam Yasin Sheikh, some of you may remember. He had actually talked to a pastor about Ramadan. His name was Wes Magruder. He actually, this man, he went, he talked to Imam Yasin about his thoughts about fasting in Ramadan. And lo and behold, this pastor, yes, pastor, he fasted for all 30 days in the month of Ramadan. He fasted all 30 days in the month of Ramadan. Every single day he would write about his experiences and so forth. So if we know that we have neighbors, that, you know, it's a source of dawah, bring them to the masjid in the month of Ramadan if there's an event, or try to bring them over to your home. That is the best thing. To build a more intimate relationship is even better, inshallah. So having said that, we don't have enough time. We don't have any more time. We'll conclude, inshallah. I want to say jazakumullah khair to all the three shuyukh for coming out, taking time out of their busy schedules, and coming over here. Some people think that the only thing that imams do are lead salat. There's a lot of things that they do. They have a very hefty, busy schedule, inshallah. So once again, jazakumullah khair to all of them. We are going to have a Mecca event, inshallah. It's going to be taking place at IECC, inshallah. When? May 24th, inshallah. It will be, of course, after Salat Taraweeh, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. After Salat Isha, inshallah, there's another lecture by our guest, who was the guest khatib today, Yusha Evans. Ziyad, please, adhan.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.